to light the candle. Yeah. Nominate two. Yeah, light the candle. Help to light the candle. Ah, Jin Hao, yeah. Okay. Light the candle. The lighter, yeah. Okay. One more here. Yeah. Okay. We can all get ready for puja. Today is the 10th of August, 2017, Thursday class. We are having it at Brother Teo and Sister Padma's race house. Okay, we will start with the offering of the tray, the puja offering. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Let us compose our mind, develop the spiritual faculty of sadhā, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Mm. 那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么本师释迦牟尼佛，那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么观世音菩萨，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么弥勒佛，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，那么佛菩萨，阿拉汉萨玛萨布多巴嘎瓦，布当巴嘎万当阿毗瓦帝蜜。娑迦陀巴伽瓦塔达摩达曼纳玛萨弥，苏帕提帕诺巴伽瓦陀萨瓦克桑哥桑罕纳玛弥。Okay, you can be seated. Then let us turn to page 1 of the chanting book. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa。那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈托萨玛萨布达斯，那摩达斯巴嘎瓦多阿拉哈托萨玛萨布达斯，布当萨拉南嘎查米，达曼萨拉南嘎查米。Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami.Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami, Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami,Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Suramiraya MajapamadathanaRamani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena Tamadang Sina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami TamonudangGanda sambara yutena Dupenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyangtang Puja bhajana mutamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami monindasaSiri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kesumenanena Punena matena cha hotu mokang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Pale parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parika pitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang. Okay, now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of his offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May all morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offerings of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we were diligently and sincerely to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of this offering, may our spiritual faculty of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas, or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay homage to Triple Gem. Bedang Pujemi. Damang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you can be seated. Okay, today we can have half an hour of meditation. We are off the light. Then, for those who really know how to meditate, yeah, you can go ahead. There is one announcement, Those who haven't received this book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, you can collect afterwards. They are over the shelf there, and there are some on the floor. You can collect them. Okay. Then for those who still need to train their mind, you can proceed. then for those who already know how to meditate, always remember, you must relax body and mind. The first support for meditation is relax. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then silence your mind. Don't do anything. If you still need an object of meditation to stabilize your mindfulness, then you just continue to train. Don't try to know, just relax, silent, and maintain mindfulness. Whatever object of meditation, it can be anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath, or your whatever object that you are familiar with. It could be a chanting, a mantra like Buddha, or even the traditional rising and falling of the abdomen, which many of you all may have done before. So you can use any of this to anchor your mind, to stabilize your mindfulness. This is only needed if your spiritual faculty are still not stable, not developed. But once your spiritual faculty is stable, you don't need anything. You just relax, silent. The mind will be in sati. Then if you can, you just stay with your object of meditation. Or you can drop it to your heart area and continue to relax and silent. Within that silence, that is the meditative mind. Initially, maybe for those who are still not well versed with the meditation, you may take a bit of time for it to settle down, so you can use your object of meditation. Or you can do your bowing, whatever that can bring about stability of mindfulness, use it. Until your object of meditation become very subtle, like no more movement. Your breath also like very subtle, your rising and falling like very subtle. Then all the chanting, like there is nobody inside there chanting. The awareness and the chanting become one. Then during that time, you continuously relax and silent everything. Then the form and mind will develop the meditation. The awareness will be aware of whatever that arises and pass away. Then all the essential Dhamma can be understood. Okay, now I'll let you develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell after about half an hour. Hello. Okay. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we can turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will now recite the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammang muni rajasa sunantu sakamokadang Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Cacarana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo sandhittiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanayiko Pachatang veditambo venohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savaka sangho ahuneyo pahuneyo dakaneyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Can I just pay respect mindfully to Triple J. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then just maintain some form of attention. Okay, we are now continue your second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A. You got whatever meditation experience to report, you can just put up your hand. We will pass you the mic. Okay, we open it up. Anybody? You just have to report your meditation, then I will be able to guide you. Then whatever question related to meditation or the Dhamma, you can ask. Anybody? Yeah, pass the mic to Jin Hao.
Good evening, Brother Teo and everyone. I have a questions would like to get brought your opinions. Last week, so happened I met a friend, you see. So during the lunch, he suggested me to buy a share counter. And then one of the particular share is involved in producing the gaming machines to the casino and all those. So my question is, it's not about the potential about anything, but it's because this is involving the gambling, is it? So is it against the precepts?
Oh, your question is is buying that counter that sells one-arm bandit machine against your precept? That one you have to ask yourself. What is precept? Which precept are you violating? Isn't it? It's very simple, isn't it? Are you violating the first precept? You go through one by one. You don't go and just everything also must expect an answer. Then you never learn. Did you violate your first precept? You just buy the counter?
Not the killing, but it's like indirectly.
No. One by one, we go through the precept, because you are talking about which precept you violate. First precept, did you violate it?
No.
You don't violate. Second precept?
Stealing.
Did you steal? Did you take things that don't belong to you?
No.
You don't have. Then third precept is about sexual misconduct. Did you did that?
No.
Then, fourth precept, did you lie? Did you cheat? Did you deceive?
No.
You didn't, isn't it? Then the last precept is intoxicant and all those things. It has got nothing to do with the precept. What you are trying to ask is it moral for a Buddhist to invest in such stock or buy such stock? That should be your question. That's why living being has this problem, understand or not? In Hokkien, you know what they say, gi sim gi kui, everything is so scared, understand? Because you think you are very spiritual, you think you are a Buddhist. So a lot of things, like they say, I cannot do this, I cannot do that. That is based on what your thought tells you. Then you didn't investigate, you didn't find out. First, it has got nothing to do with precept. You know, the five precepts, you already gone through. It has got nothing to do with the five precepts. Then you talk about as a Buddhist, how you act, how you should behave, and all those things. These are ethical things. And ethical things, the Buddha already taught us. The advice of the Buddha is very clear. What are the things you should do? What are the advice that the Buddha has given you? What is the advice of the Buddha? To avoid all evil, do good, and purify your mind is to develop the wisdom to understand all this. So, first advice is avoid all evil. Gambling, of course. If you don't understand, out of greed you do, then it is evil, understand or not? Because the evil roots are there. But like anything, it has got nothing to do with a casino, understand or not? It's you. Do you understand? The casino is the casino. Like money, you cannot say money is the source of all evil, cause of downfall. Like drug. You cannot just blame drug, drug pusher and all those things. Of course, it concerns livelihood. If your livelihood is not appropriate, then under Noble Eightfold Path, if you do that, there is karmic repercussion, understand? So in this case, if you buy that stock, you have to ask yourself, what is your mental intention behind? Do you understand? Are you speculative? Are you buying it out of what they call certain negative intention to benefit from it through insider information or through what they call manipulation of the market? Or in this case, you are given a tip, understand? They call it tip. How you spell? Is it T-I-P? T-I-P, I thought give tip one. Oh, this one also tip. Advice is also tip. So you have to inquire your intention. If your intention is just to check on the information, develop the understanding that this is a stock that is worth investing. So if your intention is just investment, there is no negativity or greed, hatred, and delusion behind, then you just buy that share as an investment stock. Then you have to check, does the stock pay dividend? You understand? Then whether that stock have value or not. Then if you have the understanding, then you will buy according to understanding, means you invest in that stock. So investment is not a crime, understand? A lot of people go to the extent of so fearful. Pratyo, can I invest in share? Speculative, you know, greed, you know, I want to make money, you know. What type of question is that? Then you might say, don't work. You work also for the salary, you know, also for greed. It's not what you think. It is your intention behind whatever you do. Your mental intention is very important. So mental intention tie together with understanding of his teaching. If you don't understand his teaching, then you will have problem. Then you will do a lot of wrong thing. Because it's more important to look at it from the karmic point of view. The five precepts are just major guidelines to avoid major evil. But if you look at the point of karma, then it's different. That's why there is such thing as right livelihood. The path factor is right living. Right living is how you live your life. If your life, you live it in accordance with your understanding based on the Dhamma, means you live life in accordance with Noble Eightfold Path, then you are okay, no problem with you. Then you know how to avoid all those things that has the evil roots. But you are involved in certain livelihood that can lead to killing, that can lead to certain type of disruptive karmic repercussion, like selling drugs, selling weapons, then be a butcher and all those things that involve all the killing and all those things, then causing karmic negativity and suffering and misery. That one, it affects your karma. It has a karmic implication. So this is more useful. This is more important. That as a Buddhist, if you are mindful, we will not have this type of livelihood, because you have to choose your livelihood. Then you have to live your life in accordance. So this aspect is something you have to develop the understanding. Even like share investment, you have to understand the purpose and intent is very, very noble, because it is the government's way of having a capital market. You know what is a capital market? Eh? You know what is a capital market or not? Most of you are not financial based. Eh? Capital market means raise capital for our country, the investment community. There is a market, a financial market. So the capital market through IPO or initial public offer, where those qualified companies who has the track record are allowed the permission to go for listing. Then you offer your share for subscription by the public who want to invest into it. And it's a very noble system with very good intention. But like whatever system, if it's been abused, manipulated, then it doesn't serve the purpose. That is where humanity's problem is. So capital market is a very good way of raising capital through mass funding, or they call crowdfunding. So the capital market has this potential capability. Then you will have to issue a prospectus for the potential investor to read to see whether your IPO is reasonable or not, attractive enough or not. Then people will be willing to put in money to invest, to apply. Yeah. Then if you do it with understanding, it is an investment. That's why everything you need to have understanding and skill. Investment in whatever form, you don't have the understanding and the skill, you will lose money. It's like playing any games. It can be chess, badminton, or table tennis, and so on. If you don't learn the skill, train until you are skillful and good, you go for competition, you tend to lose. So that's how you can end up losing most of the games if you are not good. But if you have trained yourself very well, you will win most of the time, unless you encounter a very good player. So when you play chess, you play badminton or any of these games, it's normally 1-1, or one team against another team. It can be single or double, or what they call, like football, you have a team of 11. Then volleyball, you have a team of 9 or 6. Or even 2, the beach volleyball and other things. So these are the things that you have to understand. But capital market is different. When you go in and invest, means not only IPO. Your IPO very difficult to get. The chances are low. When all the IPO come out, they have a premium or they tend to make money. Then a lot of people will go and apply. And normally it's many times oversubscribed. So your chance, your probability is much lower. That's why in our country we got other type of what they call government policy coming in. They insist all this good IPO 30% allocation to them. That's why they already take it out. Then for the public portion, you have to draw a lot. Draw a lot also, they got their funny way of drawing a lot. We don't go into the detail. But what is important is, do you have the understanding of the capital market? If you have the understanding, you can invest in it. You can buy whatever shares, understand or not? Even gaming share. Then even some of this, like they call secret counter, or like Carlsberg, or even what they call this gaming, Toto, Magnum, and all those things. These are legalized entity, understand not? Even the liquor and all those things is put on the bottle. You drink at your own risk, and that's all the alcohol content and the side effect. Then they are not allowed to advertise even the cigarette, because this is how the world has become more aware. It's towards their health, not so much of breaking precept or what. In fact, in the other religion, there are some religion, cigarette smoking is not considered evil. I think it's in the Islamic teaching, if I'm not wrong. They got a word for it. It's neither evil or wholesome. It's neutral, something like that. I forgot the word they use already. Somebody told me before. It is how you understand it. Even like this, what they call gaming counter or whatever, they are legal, what they call entity, given the license by the government. Then if your religion forbid you to buy, of course, they are discouraged from buying or getting involved with all those things, because certain religion insists that their people are not involved in all these things. But for those who understand it, you look at Genting. It's not only that casino alone, it has its entertainment. Even that casino is all based on very, very established rules. They are not like the olden time. To cheat you, deceive you, and get you into deep shit. Then mock you, another thing. No, it's free will. They are licensed. They are established entity. And if you go in just to see, to understand, to have a like entertainment, because you got what they call surplus money, do you just want to feel how it's like to be on a casino table, roulette, or whatever. But a lot of religious people who don't understand, they just blanket, one shot, cannot go in, cannot even buy, cannot even get yourself associated with it and all those things. Even if you work for such company, let's say, if you work there as an employee, as an accountant, did you violate any rules? You didn't. You cannot say, "Ayo, I work in a company that sells liquor. I promote and encourage people to drink liquor." You think you got such power? People who drink is because they are addicted. They want to drink. That's not. And the onus is on you. They never put a gun on your head and tell you to drink. Now, advertisement also, they try to limit. Now, smoking, you cannot do it in many of these aircon and public area. Overseas, they have to go into a, what they call smoking area. I remember when I was in Japan, I think, was it last year? I went there with my wife and Alicia there. We were in this Hokkaido site. Hokkaido has been sparsely populated. We travel a certain distance, then we got this like rest and service area. No? But this is not so big. The rest and service area is, I think they got like a cafe or cafe that sells some food and other things. Then you can get your, like, they call it the 7-Eleven type of thing, huh? Whatever convenience store and other things. Then they got their toilet, the wash room and other things. Then you can see there's one glass area where it's partitioned up, huh? It's like a space. So at first I thought it must be for some use, no, where the storage or whatever. Then I start to see people going in, you know, those smokers who cannot wait. After they reach that place, they will go in there and puff. Then I saw in that small cramped room with the smoke, everything. That's why it's the government who are more aware, they are imposing all this. So the onus is on you if you do not value your health, if you want to get yourself involved in such things. That's why I say your mental intention is very important. If your mental intention is such, then you want to drink, you want to gamble, you want to do whatever thing, but your intention is like through greed. Then sometimes they drink because they want to forget about their problem. They drink to get drunk, so that they can forget their problem. And this is all those who don't have the understanding, who cannot see how their mind has been conditioned into such state. The Buddha did say, if you get yourself into intoxicant and other things, you break your fifth precept, then it will bring about downfall, where your consciousness will be affected and other things. That's why the fifth precept is very powerful. So it's the individual. If you yourself have the understanding, you will not touch. But to work in such a company is not a problem, understand? Let's say you're an accountant there. You're just an employee there, helping out to do whatever thing. There are even those who are selling all this because it is a business thing. You don't purposely like want to sell drug to make the good money, or you smuggle drug and all that. These are all legalized, what they call drinks. Then sometimes those who need this type of what they call wine, certain society, especially Western society, even some Asian society, they like to have some wine, as long as not so seriously intoxicating. But that is how they have developed the acquired taste and like for such a drink. But for those who are mindful of the precept, as far as this is concerned, they have to abstain. We undertake the precept from abstaining, to abstain from taking all this. Then sometimes certain situation, like for health reason, those who gone through confinement, you remember, they are advised to take this yangming jiu or whatever. A little bit of alcohol, but it gives you warm, understand? It gives you heat. You don't drink to intoxicate yourself and bring about serious problem to yourself. You drink because your body needs it. You need it for health reason. Then it's again different. Then you don't worry about, I'm breaking my precept because I drink liquor. Like I used to say, the intention behind this precept is very important. Precepts are introduced due to certain reason. It's just like traffic light. I used to give the example. It's to regulate traffic. So all this, they are introduced because the Buddha knew if you partake in this, you can get yourself addicted, hooked, drunk, and become affected, consciousness-wise. Then when you are drunk, your consciousness really, sometimes it just black out like that. You got a lot of moments of what they call, you become unconscious. So the split second of unconscious can bring about accident, can bring about a lot of, then you got a lot of what they call heaviness in your head. They call it the, when you are drunk, the effect on you is very severe. Then after you wake up the next morning, it's worse. They call it hangover. You want to know more, you go and ask Joyce. Last time she is really one of these. Then Christina also can tell you, last time she also like that. But these are period where you don't have the Dhamma, understand? So you don't go and become remorseful, unhappy. Because this is what karma is all about. Where you don't have the understanding through your past actions, when you did not have the proper Dhamma to guide you, then you will get yourself entangled in all this. But as you go through life, you learn from it. Then when you have the good condition to encounter the Buddha Dhamma, you become different. That's why after you have this understanding, especially this life, this sasana, you must determine strongly with faith, sadha, virya, then with determination, sincerely. So that this understanding will follow you life after life, whenever you come, whether you choose to come or you have to come. And this is very important. Otherwise, life after life, you have to learn all over again. And sometimes you may not have the good karma. Nothing to do with luck. It's everything is karmic. Like the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of your karma. So all this come into place. So as long as you have the understanding, your mental intention is pure, you don't have to worry because there is no karmic at all. It's just an understanding. That's why in the early day, I think a lot of people ask me this question. That time I was not a remiser yet. And they keep on coming and ask, is it, Pratibhati, is it wrong to be a remiser? Well, I realized I came without a lot of remiser. I remember last time, Lily also, the husband, then Stephanie, Leslie, now myself. And there are quite a number. As a remiser, you are a dealer's representative. You represent the what they call investment bank. Then you are licensed. And you are supposed to be more knowledgeable in the capital market, in the stock market. That's why you are as a remiser, you act as an intermediary between the broker or the investment bank and the client, the retailer. Or sometimes you can have institutional client and all those things. So these are the established institution that the government has incorporated and is licensed. So like any profession, whether lawyer, engineers, even doctors, accountants, they are all professional, regulated. All industry is the same. That's why there is such thing as ethics. Ethics are human rules. They call it professional ethics. You're supposed to act professionally. You are not allowed to undertake. Then sometimes they go to the extreme of not even allowing you to advertise. Do you know that doctor cannot advertise their trade? I got one classmate doctor last time, he told me, The signage, clinic, what and what. Even that one, under the they are what they call Petubuhan one, the medical, they call it what? Medical board or what? That body, the doctor are regulated one, what they call? Medical counselor. No, I think there is a name for it. Never mind. Anyway, that one is a regulating body that regulates the professionalism of all doctors. If you put those colorful advertisements, like reflective and like all those things, they can complain against you. Your fellow professional doctor can complain against you as advertising, canvassing for clients. And you can be... disciplinary action can be taken against a doctor, and if he continues to violate, they can even deregister him. No? Do you understand? Then you cannot, there are certain ethics, like we are engineers, we're not supposed to undercut another fellow engineer's fee. You understand? You cannot say, hey, I give you a discount, you come, you appoint me as consultant. Ethic cannot. But then the real world is different. Everybody, they try to circumvent all this by coming up with a new term of establishing business. But if you're really professional, you will know what to do. You don't have to do all this funny thing. Like Mimi used to ask me, Brother Teo, in the business world, if we don't give bribe, how can we do business? I say, you don't have to give bribe. Why do you want to give bribe? You do it professionally, through understanding. Then no job, he said. Then later I teach her how to do it. There is no such thing as no job. Understand? You don't bribe, because that is the principle. You don't, what they call, what is that word? Like give up your ethic, give up your professional ethic. What is the Cantonese word? That one is a bit too crude. Like you compromise your profession, your ethic. Huh? My own son, Heisang is sacrificed. You compromise, understand? Compromise because of money. You willing to sign it off, understand? Sometimes they didn't even check whether the thing is safe or not. And there are a lot of professional, the draftsman will draw. Then after that, when the job is done, the architect just signed. He didn't even know what the job is. And most of these are unethical, already retired people. Then sometimes they use the job they chop. That professional people, can be an engineer or an architect or what, is already dead one, understand? But they still use their job to job, because guarantee. And for us, professional as engineer, civil and structural, our guarantee, our professional identity is that structure, the soundness of the structure is for life, not warranty period. You think warranty period over, no more your problem. No, it's for life. That design warranty is for life because you are a professional. But of course, within the definition of that warranty means whatever that is professionally, like we call it by a fellow professional engineer, by normal standard, if you have taken enough of this, what they call measures in your design consideration, if you have not done something we call negligent, if you have not developed any negligence of your design, means based on your professional training, you have not done something that is negligent. Because these are your ethics. These are your professional skills. But if you are not able to carry out all this because you did it wrongly, and that is called professional negligence, there is negligence in what you do. Even doctor can be sued for negligence, because these are very professional people. That's why you're supposed to get more fee. They pay you a fee. Then the funny thing is, they use the word consultant. I don't know why. Consultant. A con man is also con. So when you become a professional, they say you are a consultant. So does it mean that you are a consultant? So we had this question among our peers when we discussed it. They say all con one. Contractor is also con one. Consultant is also con one. The con man is also con one. So all the con people are in the same trade. How not to have problem? How not to have ethical problem? But the English word is a bit funny. I also want to know, how did the word consultant and contractor come about? Is it linked to the con man? We have most of these professional people are con. Then the doctor also consultant. Consultant what? Consultant or con. Okay, coming back to your question. Now, I hope you understand. It's your mental intention. If you are truthful, all these are what they call capital market, approved legal entity for you to make a decision to invest. But if you out of greed, you want to punt, then it is not investment anymore. It's manipulating the market, taking your chance and all those things. That's why they say speculation is at your own risk. Then stock market manipulation is punishable, is a crime. If you manipulate market through rigging the prices or disseminating false news. That's why there is disclosure requirement for listed company. If the disclosure are not properly done, the director can be charged. Understand? The company can be fined and charged. So there are a lot of rules. And these rules are getting more and more sophisticated as the capital market develops. Because the authority that regulates the capital market also learn. We call it the watchdog. So for our equity market, stock market, who is the watchdog? Who is the watchdog? You buy share, you don't know. No, Bursa is the exchange. Kuala Lumpur Stock Exchange is just an exchange that facilitates the trading. Security Commission, SC, that is the watchdog. That one got power to prosecute and charge. And that one is very powerful. It's like the Security Commission, they call it a commission. With all sorts of securities, they are in control. And sometimes the capital market, they also raise bond. All the derivative instrument and all those things. Then they got the futures market, the equity market. Then they can trade in almost anything now. Not only shares, equity. They got commodity. They got oil. Then they got a lot other commodity. Even now, currency also can be traded. So recently you read on the news, Malaysian Central Bank, Bank Negara, very unhappy with Singapore. Singapore and Hong Kong. They put the ringgit in their futures market. Means you can buy and sell future. There's a market for it. But Malaysia outlaw ringgit. So the Central Bank say, how can you introduce a capital market of our currency which we outlaw? But it's another country, you can complain. But the other country that do it is, their intention is maybe sincere. Because there is a market for it. People want to have that type of futures. So if you understand it, if it's done for a sincere purpose, not to cause adverse problem to the country, then it is not something that is disruptive or whatever. But these are intergovernment thing, so we will not be involved as individual, so you don't have to worry. Okay, so I hope by now you can have a better understanding. Because these are very common issue that new Buddhists, they always ask. Before they learn the teaching, they are more concerned with whether buy this type of stock against Buddhist principle or not, involved in stock market against Buddhist principle or not, be a remiser against Buddhist principle or not. To me, more important is to develop your own mind, cultivate your own mindfulness, develop the understanding of the teaching. Then you will know what to do. If you don't want to understand all this and just wants to know whether this is proper or improper, then it doesn't really help you. Means you are seeking an answer, you refuse to find out. So when you find out, it's very simple. Like just now, you ask, is it against the precept? I say, you can find out. One by one we go through, we got nothing to do with the precept. Then the second one, which is a normal question, is whether it has any karmic implication. All these human beings, they are very worried about karma. Worried about karma doesn't mean they are scared of karma. No? I tell you, they are not scared of karma. But they are very worried about small things like that. No? If I buy this stock, whether I go against Buddhist ethic or not. But if they cheat people, kill people, and harm people because of other reasons, they are very willing to do it. Like the desire, the cunningness, the deceitfulness, they got no hesitation. But when they come to buy certain shares, hey, cannot lah, this one. It was casino one, it was liquor one, it was cigarette industry one. I don't want. Then eat vegetarian and all those things. To me, if your defilement inside is still so gross and so what they call strong, and you don't have the mindfulness or the awareness to be aware of it, and you want to talk about this level of compassion, don't want to get involved with all this so-called very, very ethical things. I just don't understand if you do that. To me, it's take care of your what they call evil roots, the very gross one, the very strong one. Root them out first, understand them clearly. Then through that understanding, you will know what to do. But if you don't develop all this, then you just have this idea, form Dhamma we call it, to show other people that, hey, I'm serious Buddhist, no? I don't buy stock involved liquor. I don't buy gaming stock. But your other action is still very crude. Your evil roots are still very strong. You still cannot understand what the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion is. Then, to me, you are wasting your time. You are trying to impress people outwardly using form Dhamma. At the mind level, you are completely not able to stand up with the defilements. Defilement's ability to delude you and to cause about karmic negativity in you. So these are more important understanding. And with the understanding, you determine to cultivate. As you cultivate, you develop mindfulness, heedfulness, understanding. Then only you can avoid all evil, the good, purify your mind, following Noble Eightfold Path, which is the advice of the Buddha. If you don't have all this, you cannot develop the understanding. Then you cannot cope with life. Then all those things that you heard people say, then through your thought, you create idea of it. Then you think this is not right, this is not right, this is right. whatever you do, you don't understand the stock market, you will get into trouble. But when you understand the stock market and you don't have negativity of mind, you don't do things that leads to karmic negativity, then you're okay. You just go in as an investor. An investor is to provide liquidity for the stock. And the investor, you apply IPO, is to provide the capital market for company to grow, to expand, and to develop their business. And this is what the capital market is for. Otherwise, our economy cannot grow. Very difficult. If everything also you need a single entity to slowly earn the money and then only expand their business, it's too slow. Like all the family business, you cannot grow big. If you want to grow big, you have to go IPO and all those things. Even now, you look at all the tech giants of today, they also don't want to go for IPO so fast. They grow their company first. You look at Facebook, even this, what they call Jack Ma, Alibaba.com, they refused to sell their stock when it was not listed at the time, because they know they can see the potential of it, and they will grow very fast after that. Where it's a global market, it's a global network of companies, especially the high-tech stock, internet stock. And because it has such great potential, they really spend a lot of time building it up. Of course, a lot of hard work. You can listen to Jack Ma's story, what he has shared with the world. He also did it from scratch, and he went through a lot of failure to learn all this. But finally, he succeeded. And now, he's very well respected. He applied to Harvard 10 times, rejected. He applied to KFC, 25 went for interview, 24 recruited. He was the only one not recruited. Then he learned. He knew he had to learn English. That's why it all depends on you. Don't look down upon your own potential. Don't despise your own ability. You have the potential if you work towards it. If you are sincere, you have the faith. Then you go according to the what they call moral path, means you don't violate the natural law. The natural law of karma or moral causation and all those things. Then as they understand, if they want to grow further, it has to go for IPO. That's why finally they still launched the IPO. It's the one of the biggest around. Then when it was launched, people thought, oh, the price already fully valued. But because the rate Alibaba grow, they are talking about 40-50% a year, you know, growth rate. Then sometimes you cannot understand how they grow. Their growth rate is so fast. That's why the stock keep on going up. Then like this Warren Buffett also say, Berkshire Hathaway, you heard of this listed company in the US, very famous. He also don't believe in paying dividend. He believe in consistently making money for shareholder. That's why he said, instead of paying you dividend, you don't know how to grow your money. You might as well put the money in the company, he grow it for you. His average is 18% a year, consistently. And that is a very, very, what they call, good track record. It's not easy to make consistently 18%. For a mature market, the normal growth is just under 4%, sometimes 2% or whatever. But for an investor to consistently deliver on the average 18% a year, he is a very good investor. That's why he is famous. Then he share, you normally sell by 1,000 units. They call it one big lot. His share is one unit one. His one unit, you know, cost how much or not? Huh? How many of you know? How much is Berkshire Hathaway? Huh? One unit in terms of US dollar. Hundred over thousand US dollar. You know? Just one share, you know? Not 1,000 share, you know? Just one share. You know? Your own 10 shares, you already 1.something million. US dollar, you know? Not ringgit. Just imagine. So a certain stock, you know how to invest, actually to make money, to have financial freedom is not difficult if you know how to invest. But investment need understanding, which is like meditation. You need understanding of the stock market or investment market or the capital market. The people who are involved, the participants of the market. Then you need to know the trading rules and all those things. Then you need to have the understanding to choose stock. Then you must also have the good karma. Otherwise, money won't come to you, understand? So there is a combination of a lot of factors within that field. Okay. Any more questions from there? Don't have. Anybody else want to report your meditation or ask any question? If you don't have, maybe I read this part to you. I think the previous Sunday in the Wu Ping Ching Sir, I mentioned I will share this Master Sun Yan's he wrote this book Dharma Drum Mountain, Master Sun Yan. So he is the founder of Fa Ku San Dharma Drum Mountain. So Venerable Zen Master Sun Yan was one of the what they call 20th century's foremost Buddhist teacher, scholar and meditation master, and was instrument in the revival of the Chinese Buddhism in modern time. So there's a brief history here about him. Venerable Master Sun Yan was born into a humble farming family near Shanghai in the year 1930. He became a Novik Buddhist monk at the age of 13. During the communist takeover of China in 1949, he escaped with the Nationalist Army to Taiwan. At the age of 28, after 15 years of strenuous scriptural study and struggle in his meditation work, while sojourning at various monasteries in South Taiwan, he had the deepest spiritual experience of his life. Soon after, he entered into a solitary 6-year meditation retreat to deepen his realization. He later received formal lineage transmission in both the extant line of Zen Buddhism, making him the 57th generation master of the Lingzi line and the 52nd generation master of the Chao Dong line of Zen. In 1969, Venerable Master Sun Yan went to Japan to attend graduate school with the conviction that a strong education would be required to receive Chinese monasticism. In 6 years, he obtained a master and doctorate degree in Buddhist literature from Rishō University, becoming the first monk to earn a PhD doctorate in the history of Chinese Buddhism. For the last 30 years of his life, he tirelessly devoted all of his energy to advanced Buddhist education, reviving the traditions of rigorous education for monks and nuns, leading intensive Zen meditation retreat worldwide, engaging in interfaith outreach, and working on behalf of world peace, youth development, and gender equality. Venerable Master Sun Yan passed away peacefully in Taiwan on February 3rd, 2009. is revered by tens of thousands of disciples and students around the world. His wisdom and compassion is found in his book. In Chinese, English, Japanese, and several other languages, and in the teaching of his student and Dhamma here, both in Asia and the West. So this is a brief synopsis of his life and his contribution to the Buddhist community and the world. Okay, now I will read to you a certain part of his sharing, which is quite good. Okay. This first part is on meditation. All activity are Zen. The title. So this is easy to understand, isn't it? All activity are Zen. How many of you cannot understand this sentence? Everybody understand. Because I asked how many cannot understand this, and then nobody put out hand. So no need to explain. You better tell me, how many of you don't understand this sentence? All activity are Zen. Do you understand? And no means put up your hand. Otherwise, I will assume everybody understand, then no need to share. One more time, How many of you don't understand this statement? Put out the hand also shy, Means the thought is still very powerful, understand, the egoic mind. What is there to be shy? Last time when my teacher asked any question or whatever, I will sure put out my hand if I understand. If I don't understand, I also put out my hand and say, I don't understand. That's how you learn. If you are shy, means the thought is shy, understand, Paisei, is the thought, it's not you. Okay, you listen to this. All activity are Zen. Speech and silence. Motion and stillness. Walking, standing, sitting, and lying down. These are all Zen practices. In the Zen hall, sitting, standing, walking, stretching, these are all forms of Zen practices. Outside the hall, eating, drinking, sleeping, and arising, working after meal, activity at all places, all moments, these are also Zen practices. When doing your tasks that do not require thought, you can recite the Buddha's name or count breath. When doing work that requires your attention, make sure that your mind and hands work together, means with mindfulness. Your mind should be where your hand and your body are, washing dishes. Leave them spotless, cutting vegetables. Be the knife that cuts perfectly. Splitting firewood, heating water, sweeping the floor. Put your whole mind and strength into what you are doing. Cleanly and skillfully. Into what you are doing. Or into whatever task you are doing. Cleanly and skillfully. This is practicing Zen. Concentrate on your food when eating. Chewing deliberately, and do not let your mind wander. Going to bed, put aside the four elements of your body and the five aggregates of form and mind, which is Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, and also the form, Rupang. Forget past, present, and future. Just have a good sleep. That too is Zen. See, for those who understand, meditation is life itself. Means whatever activity you do is zazen or Zen practices or cultivation. Then you have also plowing and weeding and all those things. coming to retreat to accomplish something may be the correct attitude. Maybe a correct attitude. But for now, you must forget all about goals. When working on the farm, you focus on plowing and reading, not on the harvest. Storm, flood, droughts, and earthquake are all beyond your control. If causes and conditions and past merits are good, there will be a rich harvest. See? Everything falls back to karma. Understand? That's why I take care of karma. Then you don't have to worry about anything. Otherwise, your heart is always running here, running there, worry about this, worry about that. Then scared of this, scared of that. The farmer's only choice is to put his wholehearted strength into his work. He cannot ensure any result. Yet the very experience of others tilting and planting is itself a precious thing. Therefore, we make practice itself a goal. We can rely on it. Whatever you do, eating, meditating, cooking, cutting vegetables, that is both the practice and the goal. Just single-mindedly apply yourself to the task with an even, down-to-earth, balanced mind. With your mind task-free from peripheral issue, you will truly cultivate Zen or Zazen. Good results appear when you don't covet gain and just pay attention to the cultivation or practice. With this attitude, you will surely harvest a bountiful crop someday. Then the next one is also very interesting. This one, you listen. Arousing Bohimaya, the aspiration for enlightenment arises from hearing and studying the Buddha Dhamma. It's called Bohichitta. This is the mind signal to itself that it is ready to abandon affliction, nurture compassion, and cultivate wisdom. Which is to say, perceiving one's own true Buddha nature. To arouse bodhicitta, one first loosens the mind's fixation on craving, anger, folly, arrogance, ignorance, and countless other afflictions which causes suffering and keep one from seeing his or her true nature. That's why you do all those things, you cannot realize your true mind. You cannot see your own true mind. The mind of a Buddha is manifested on the one hand as compassion, on the other hand as wisdom. However, they are not separate, but two aspects of the same thing. To seek wisdom alone, you must listen to this, is the way of the Savaka. You know what is a Savaka? How many of you don't understand? Savaka means sound hearer. Sound hearer are those cultivating the sainthood way. Sanvana. Savaka. So I read again. To seek wisdom alone means for the individual. It's the way of the Savaka or sound hearer. Not the way of the Bodhisattva who also nurtures compassion. Arousing the mind of enlightenment should be simultaneous with arousing the mind of compassion. Zen practitioner should not defer vowing to help sentient beings until after being enlightened. And this is the part I want to share with the Wu Ping Jing Sunday class. A lot of people want to play safe, no? At least sainthood first. Sure, won't fall already. Maximum 7 lives. Then only I take the vow. They want to play safe. So here is the advice from Sun Yan Fa Si. You better listen. Zen practitioner should not defer vowing to help sentient being until after becoming enlightened. Doing so would defer the supreme enlightenment of the great vehicle, Anuttara Samyak Sambohi. Conduct is the causal basis for tasting the fruit of supreme enlightenment. One must travel the Bodhisattva way, benefiting sentient beings, not oneself, transforming the ordinary into the compassionate self. You will be in accord with the selfless wisdom of liberation. So this is a very important understanding. Then the mind of compassion, you listen. The ordinary love that people feed is basically ego-centric. The ordinary love that people feel is basically egocentric and brings affliction that leads to more affliction. This is not true Buddhist compassion. Even so, Buddhists should learn compassion at this level and progress to a higher expression, which is to help all equally. While the actor and receiver are all seen as empty, means no mark. True compassion springs from selfless wisdom and is not conditioned by relationship. It is everywhere equal. What the Lotus Sutta called a single rain, which brings nourishment to all. Compassion cannot be based on the hope of receiving benefits from act of kindness. This is acting for one's own sake, not genuine compassion. Therefore, if you would arouse the mind of compassion, you must boldly advance and energetically practice to cut off delusion and witness the real. Be guided by Buddha Dharma and rely on the method of Zen. Zen is based on the teaching of cause and effect. To center and guide our practice, we must root it in the mind of great compassion, the great compassionate vows, and to energize it with the mind of great enlightenment. Otherwise, we practice blindly, like wandering ghosts floating in the air. This one is more important. This one you listen. This one will benefit you. There is no set timetable for enlightenment. Some people can do it in an hour, whereas other people do it in 2 days, and for some, even 2 days is not enough. Some people can help 10 million with a single sentence, but others cannot even help a single person in their entire life. Therefore, there is no way to use time as a measurement of progress in cultivation or practice. The next sentence you listen. You must take into account such factors as the student's diligence, faith, and sincerity, as well as their coming obstruction. This being the case, the best way to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma is to forget about when you will become enlightened. That there is an egoic thought, the egoic mind. To see the practice itself as the goal and the result. With this attitude, you cannot fall into delusion. That's why I always advise you in a similar way, but I use different word. What did I use? What word did I use? When you cultivate? Nobody can remember. Don't try to? Isn't this the same? Don't try to know means don't try to every time, when will I be enlightened? When will I be? I tell you that thought will stop you from being enlightened. Maybe it brings about a condition to share just now. While on the car, you go and see the video sent by Vincent to our Maikayamita. How many of you have seen that video? The Buddhist story from Thailand. Nobody saw the video yet. Oh, one professor. It's a very interesting video. But I don't think it's a Jataka story, but it's a very meaningful story. He said there was a beggar, homeless beggar, very poor, really, got nothing. Then every day he worked very hard, he begged, then with the food come back, somehow the food will be taken away. It seems he want to find out who. Then he watched carefully. Then he saw the poor mouse came and take away the food. So he talked to the mouse, he said, I'm a miserable homeless beggar. Why did you take away my food? Is it? If you take from the rich people, at least they won't feel the pinch, isn't it? Why you come after mine? You know what the mouse told him? It's your destiny. It means his karma, understand not? Not to even have food. You can only have 8 things that you have. Then he asked, what you mean by my destiny? This one, he said, you have to ask the Buddha. That's why he went and looked for the Buddha. And he went. Then he met a wealthy family. But it was late at night. So he asked for permission, trying his luck. He was lucky that night. The rich, wealthy family pitied him, took him in, gave him food, and let him stay the night. Then talked to him. He said, why are you traveling at such late night? He said, I'm going to see the Buddha and I'm going to ask him about my life destiny. Then the wealthy couple also very happy. He said, in that case, can you help us? We also have a question to ask the Buddha because nobody can answer. They expect the Buddha to have the answer. So he said, my daughter, their daughter, 16 years old already, can't even talk. When will she speak or talk? He said, yeah, I will ask for you. Then he went on. Then India, you know, Himalaya, got to cross the Himalaya mountain and all this thing. Then he met a wizard. This wizard got psychic. Pity him, say, okay, I can take you across. Then as he take him across through his magic spell, he asked this poor beggar, why do you go all the way across these Himalayas to do what? He said, I want to look for the Buddha and ask him about my life destiny. Oh, he said, that is a good one. You might as well ask for me too. He said, according to my teaching, I have cultivated for 1,000 years. I'm supposed to be in heaven. Why am I not in heaven? That was the question. Remember this question. Then he went over the Himalaya. Then there was a sea. Very lake or sea, I forgot. He cannot cross. Then one turtle came. He said, I can help you. Then he asked the turtle. The turtle asked him, why do you want to cross this lake or this river? Because without the turtle, there is hardly any boat to take you across. So he told the turtle, I want to meet up with the Buddha to ask him about my life destiny. Well, then the turtle said, yeah, I also got a question. I hope you can also help me to ask. He said, I already cultivated very long. He said, I'm supposed to be a dragon. But I am still a turtle. I just want the Buddha to tell me, why am I not a dragon? Well, according to his teaching, also his religion, he said, you cultivate like that, you should be a dragon by now. So this poor beggar went. Then he met the Buddha, you know. But now he got 4 questions, including his. But the Buddha told him, you can only ask 3. So he was contemplating. Then he realized his problem was very small. Whereas the other 3 were more severe. So he decided to ask the other 3. So he asked the turtle question first. So the Buddha said, very simple. Well, he cling on to his turtle shell. That's why he cannot be a dragon. You understand? You are holding on to your turtle shell. It's like you cling on to your human form and mind, and you want to be enlightened. That's why it will prevent you from becoming enlightened, because the turtle shell has protected him. Then when he went back and tell the turtle was so happy, took off his shell, then really become a dragon. Then because he has lived so long, he realized there's a lot of jewel and all those things, pearl and jewel in the turtle shell. He said, I already a dragon, I can fly and do what I like, you can take all the jewelry, he said, the pearl and all those things. So this poor beggar now no more poor. Then he went back to the Himalaya and saw the wizard. So he told the wizard, he said, the Buddha got an answer for you. He said, the reason why you cannot go on to heaven is you hold on to your psychic power, or your magic that you went. He said, really? Oh, now I know. You can have this. You remember Harry Potter? The magic stick? He passed the magic stick to him, and teach him the spell. Immediately after he did that, he knew he will be in heaven. Or he said, I don't need this already. I'm already in heaven. So this beggar thought his destiny is dead. Never knew. Just because he was sincere, he was not greedy, he didn't ask his own question. He received this wealth and this magical power. Then he hurriedly used the magical power to go to the wealthy family's house. And when he reached there, you know what was the answer? The Buddha told him, this daughter of the wealthy family will speak again when he met his soulmate. You know what is a soulmate, isn't it? So when he was there, as he explained the answer to the couple, the wealthy couple, the daughter came down from upstairs, suddenly opened her mouth, isn't you the one that came last week? Or that the parent knew, this must be the soulmate, otherwise the daughter wouldn't speak. See, from nothing, he got everything because he was sincere. Even as a poor homeless beggar. That's why don't cling, don't attach, don't hold, don't have the egoic mind to crave for anything, even your progress, your success, your whatever. Forget about it. Just do it with sincerity. Like I say, three things. Faith, sincerity, and do. Persevere. Don't try to know. The way will be there. It will unfold. Trust your own nature. Trust your own karma. Everything will follow. Okay? So this is a good sharing. You can rejoice. Sadhu also paise. You really, I don't know when will you learn. Okay, this one, enlightenment benefiting others. This is also very good. There was a saying in Buddhism, it is rare to attain the human form and difficult to encounter Buddha Dharma. We here are very fortunate. We have managed to attain human form and to hear the Buddha Dharma. We also have the good karma to meet with real teacher who can guide us in the practice or cultivation of the Dharma. The chance to take part in a Zen retreat is hard to come by, and for this, we should feel great joy. To make use of our good fortune, we should generate the aspiration for enlightenment. This means undertaking the four great bodhisattva vows to deliver sentient being, to cut off mental affliction, to master all dhammas, and to attain Buddhahood. The Buddha taught that suffering results from ignorance. So this is the Buddha's teaching. Suffering results from ignorance. You have to understand both the cause of suffering and the means to end it. The Buddha Dharma gives us a way out of this predicament, means the Dharma. But when we consider that countless other sentient beings suffer as much as we do or more, how can we think only of our own self-deliverance as a goal of practice? Therefore, we learn Buddha Dharma to help us deliver not just ourselves, but other sentient beings as well from all their suffering. Thus, we study and cultivate Buddha Dharma to become enlightened, not for one's own sake, but for the sake of sentient beings. So always remember this. Then your mind will open up. Then this is another part. This is also quite good. The Buddha Dhamma is so wonderful, yet few people know about it, and many misunderstand it. You agree or not? And you somehow look down upon yourself. You're so fortunate, so lucky. 人生难得今已得, 佛法难闻今已闻. Then you also have the good karma to encounter good teachers who has the Dhamma. All this you have, and yet you don't appreciate. That's why the Buddha Dhamma is so wonderful, yet few people know about it, and many misunderstand it. Therefore, he make a vow to learn as much as possible and share whatever he knows about the Dhamma with other people. See, this is the mind of a practitioner. They know it's very, very difficult to understand this teaching, and it's very rare. But it's so wonderful. And yet, few people know about it, and many misunderstand it. So if you have the condition to understand and encounter and have the good karma to have this condition to cultivate it, to listen to it, you should have the joy, the gratitude, thank your good karma, anasana. Then the firm commitment, the faith, the affirmation, the sincerity to just persevere and cultivate. And this is what you need to do. Okay, then this last part, you better listen. This one is about the cultivation. This is not easy to understand, but if you can understand, then I rejoice with you. You see, this is based on Sun Jian Fa's own understanding and cultivation. He said at the sixth stage means they are what they call he practiced this what illumination meditation, silent illumination meditation. He said at the sixth stage the body and the mind, the internal self and the external surrounding are all still there. They are all still there. But they are no longer seen as separate. Body and mind are unified. Internal and external are unified. The previous thought and the successive thought are unified. The unification of thought stream occurs when all thoughts are connected to the same content. He used the word the method itself. At some point, however, thoughts will neither arise nor disappear. There is no before and after, and no feeling of time or space. So you think you have become enlightened? Here he said, you have entered the precious oneness of stable meditative absorption. So a lot of people would have thought, this is it. This is enlightenment. What do you think? What do you think? No, this is not jhana. This is not jhana. This one is the mind went through that state, but it's not cessation. It's not cessation. So Master Sun Yat-sen say, but this is not enlightenment. When both internal and external are empty out at once, means no more duality. When oneness is shattered, then the selfless wisdom or understanding appear. When there is no internal or external and no clinging to the in-between, this is awakening or enlightenment. Therefore, to meditate to the point where scattered thought become fewer and fewer. This is the correct understanding. The process of progress. I read again. Therefore, to meditate to the point means you continue to let your mind silent, slow down, like your breathing, remember? Until subtle, no more breathing. Then your mind enters sati. This one he didn't describe here. But he only know about the effect of it. He said, therefore, to meditate to that point, to the point, he don't know what that point is, he didn't describe. Where scattered thought become fewer and fewer. That's why when your mind enters sati, your thought will slow down. They finally cease, disappear. First, we reign in our six sense faculty, means your six sense door, your eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. The eye, here he say it wrongly, I think. The eye don't see. The ear don't hear. Sensation of body and mind faculty don't react to stimuli. So this one in samatha or samadhi can also be like that. But the true one is not like that. The true one, you listen, I already explained before. When your mind is in sati, every moment of seeing is in sati. Hearing is in sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and the arising of whatever is all in sati with clarity. Then after that, the next part he is correct. Because stray thoughts are news brought in through the sense faculty. After they are shut off, all sorts of internal false thought or false thinking will subside. As they gradually lessen, the mind will gradually stabilize. So this one, you need wisdom, you need understanding, you need straightening of view, then you need a stable sati. All this he didn't explain. At that point, it is easier to recognize your own character and tendency. This is true. Where when you are mindful, aware, constantly aware, ever mindful, constantly meditative and ever mindful, then you can see with mindfulness very clearly. So this part, he is right. As they gradually lessen, the mind will gradually stabilize. At that point, it is easier to recognize your own character. That's why you can see clearly how you become conditioned into things, how you become affected, afflicted, and all those things. So you recognize your own character and tendency, what sort of person you really are. Then the more we truly understand ourselves, the more we can make our moral character sound and whole. So this is the initial cultivation using mindfulness. As you watch yourself in action in life, you will start to understand how the mundane mind become afflicted, entangled to the lack of Dhamma understanding. Then joy of Dhamma, delight of Zen. To truly function as a Zen person, you cannot be naive. You need to realize there is a lot to learn and cultivate. Don't be in a hurry to get enlightened. This one is a very good advice. But don't wait for it either. In the beginning, it is most important to pacify the mind, to settle it down, means to develop sati, which he didn't mention. And you need to be free at all times. That's why I say it must be a free mind. And in all places, from the undue influence or external object, means you must have wisdom, yoniso manasikara, at the moment of sense experience. You can do this without bothering other people. You will know the joy of Dhamma and the delight of Zen. In the sutta, there's a metaphor about reining in and pacifying the mind. Guard your six sense faculty the way a turtle hides its limb, head and tail. Like the turtle, we must guide our six sense door of vision, hearing, smell, taste, tactile or touch, and thought from being disturbed by object. When we sit, we go from mind moment to mind moment. While straying from the focus of samadhi, he used the word concentration. This is the method of Zen. Then to relax body and mind, to settle seriously on the method, means he's using the method to train the mind and the technique. Not to calculate success and failure. These are the principle of Zen. Then to realize impermanent, non-self, leading to no thought, no abiding, formless, no attainment. These are the perspective of Zen. Please take this method, principle, and perspective and commit them firmly. He used the word to memory to develop the understanding and practice them without letting up. So this is what he shared. The few things that I pick up from this book. Well, this was the book we read while we were at Fakusan in Taiwan, I think 2-3 years ago. Suyan's mother also went with us. I bumped on this book. Then I took it back. I didn't read it until recently. I start flitting over the book, then I saw all this. That Sunday when I was at Wu Ping Jing, so I suddenly has condition to share this book. Because I realize a lot of you all are not clear about the cultivation, and some of you all lack the very strong understanding and faith. That's why you want to play safe. At least first stage of sainthood, then only take the vow and all those things. I just cannot understand. So this is another person, a very famous Zen master, who also give you the same advice. Don't go and allow the thought and the idea to give you all this suggestion or idea. It will bind you, it will cause you to delay your cultivation and all those things. And it may even hinder you, like the Buddhist video story that Vincent has sent. I think he must have got it from his daughter who is in Bangkok. You realize or not, although it's just a story, the reason why that wizard, we call it the psychic guy, the wizard cannot go to heaven is, yeah, he hold on to his power, the wending stick, or what they call the magic stick. Then the turtle cannot become a dragon because he cling onto the shell. So if you are not careful, you cling on to enlightenment, you striving to become enlightened, then you will be equally trapped. When the Buddha says strive on with heedfulness, he doesn't tell you to strive on for enlightenment. Strive on with heedfulness means you strive with heedfulness, with the mind that is trained to be ever mindful and constantly meditating. You strive on with that. It's not strive on to become enlightened. So that is the important understanding and message. Okay, we will end. Let us rejoice if you want to. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will share the merits, transfer merit. Then you make your aspiration. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakan tu loka sasana itta wata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, before you pay your respect to Triple Gem, I got a short announcement. It's regarding the Clang Talk tomorrow. I will be delivering a client talk tomorrow on the importance of Noble Eightfold Path as an integral part of the cultivation leading to enlightenment. So if you are free, if you are interested, you can join us. If you want to know the address or what, maybe you can ask Sui An. Sui An can provide you with the location and all this thing. Okay, now you can pay your respect, then we end.
Dear brothers, sisters, and brothers and sisters in the Dharma, let us express our gratitude and respect to Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo for coming all the way to share the Buddha Dharma with us by saying sadhu three times. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And sadhu to Brother Chai and Sister Elsie for fetching Brother Teo and Mrs. Teo to the class. Sadhu, sadhu. And sadhu to everybody for being here, and sadhu for all the offerings. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Thank you.